Hey guys, I'm Adam Rappaport, and this is the Bon Appetit Foodcast. All right, this week we have on Erica Nakamura and Jocelyn Guest, big-time butchers and owners of J&E Small Goods, a purveyor of homemade sausages and hot dogs. Jocelyn and Erica were guests a while back when they were running things at White Gold, an Upper West Side butcher shop slash restaurant. But since then, they have started a family, moved upstate, and launched their own company. Carla Lolly Music chats with them about the impetus for all that change and what it's like starting a business while also starting a family. After that, I sit down with our Basically editor and first-time podcast guest, Sarah Jompel, to talk about nuts, how to buy them, how to store them, and how you should be cooking with them. All right, here we go.
The most annoying thing about, I think, owning your own business is that you're responsible financially for everything that happens with it.
Absolutely.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
So when you guys made the transition from working for other people to opening your own business, mm-hmm. like, what were, I've read, I know that there's like long hours where, you know, that's obviously part of it from being in that world. But what were the other, what were the big challenges with going out on your own?
Well, I think your mindset totally changes. Like, when I was an employee, I was like, all right, like, I'm out.
Clock it out.
Yeah. And now I was like, no, I'll stay open an extra half hour. What you want?
Right.
You want a ribeye? Yeah. You want like six of them?
Yeah.
Like, you like try harder.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not that I didn't try hard as a worker bee, but
I think that raising money is just
dehumanizing.
Oh, it's so hard.
Raising money and for your business.
Yeah, for your business. And I mean, everything is at stake at that point.
Right.
So no pun intended. But
I'm
you know,
also
you,
like
you just push and push and push and to the point where people are like, leave me alone.
Right. It is really hard to be like shameless.
Absolutely.
You're really good at it though.
Yeah,
I like
that
refuse
I'm
refuse to engage. I'm like, Erica, can you go talk to that guy?
What is it about you that makes you...
I don't give up. Like, I just kind of don't take no for an answer. So I'm like, unless someone actually says no to my face, I'm like, so about that thing we were talking about.
The door's still open on that.
Yeah, texting, calling, I don't stop.
And so that was that part of White Gold Butchers, or was that, that's more of a now thing with J&E?
It's definitely a now thing with J&E. The first business I opened in LA was fully self and family funded. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I screwed over my parents so hard to do it. And I also screwed my brother over, my baby brother. I mean, he didn't talk to me for like 2 years after I closed that business.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, and you learn a lot about what not to do.
And I think the investors learn a lot about a restaurant business.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, when I started cooking, I thought for sure I was going to, my whole goal was to work through line cook,
right?
You know, sous chef, executive sous chef, like all the way up, and then open my own business. And the deeper into it I got, I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
No, it's really, I think people, especially now with like the media that's out there about being in the food world, they're like, oh, that's so dope. Like, you must have just a blast. And I think you do. Most of the time, but it's also really, really insane.
Yeah,
I think
it is insane. The things that you do are insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been literally like elbow deep in, like, on the floor with the arm in a drain, fishing out beef fat that an employee who was lazy and dumped. I mean, you know what I mean? Like the scenarios and the nightmares. There's beef fat bubbling up in another drain, like two floors down, and you're like, what is going on?
But like even on night before last at Evan's house, like one of our, we had like a metal bucket from the hippo
that
place
fun.
That started leaking, and I used like Evan's very nice embroidered beach towel, and I was like, excuse me, chef, like, Carmelita, can you just, and I was like on my hands and knees just like mopping up water. You just have to do it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
great.
The beef fat butcher problems,
dude.
You
know?
Yeah.
It's
real. It's true. You
have like a drum of hardened beef fat outside of White Gold for like until summer came, because no one could pump it out of the oil drum.
Right. Was solidified.
And it's in the best of spirits, because here we are being like, we're so sustainable. We're using the beef fat in the fryer. And then it's like, well, where does it go?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
we called 1-800-JUNK and we were like, yo, can y'all come get this thing? And they were like, no, that's not junk. And
what?
We were like, yes, it is. Come get it.
Let's come over with a lot of potatoes. exactly. and we'll fry them. And then you could take those the fryer.
Yeah, it was crazy.
All right. So I feel like I jumped in with a really big question. But so backing up a little bit, I do feel like when I look at your guys' careers, and now mm-hmm. they're a fused career.
Yes.
You know, a lot of steps of the way, I just feel like you guys were rule breakers. Like, being, first of all, just being female butchers, as far as like changing stereotypical idea of like who you're going to see behind the counter. And do you guys feel like there's something about you innately that set you up to be, I don't know, to do that?
I think we always kind of just say that we're too dumb to know right. otherwise. Like, in 2018, we like left our job, we left the city, we got married, we had a baby, we started a new company.
That's a big year.
Our house got inundated with mold.
We right before the baby.
Move everything out and clean it and put it. And we're just like, oh, yeah, this is just how things go. And, like, I just don't think we know any better.
Sure. You know, what's funny is that, so I'm inherently a rule breaker. I've always been that way. I mean, ask my parents, they'll tell you the craziest stuff. And Jocelyn is inherently a rule follower.
Interesting.
So, I'm a Virgo rising, so I need, like, my
order.
I need my structure.
Right? Totally.
But and once I know the rules, I'm like, okay, we can.
For sure. Like, I was the kid 3 years old who had a shaved head because mm-hmm. my mom was like, this is who you are. You're going to do it? Do it. And I
didn't kept... your sister shave your head, though?
She did. She started it. And then I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, and I kept it that way for years. I mean, into my teen years, you know, because, and that's like way before I knew like who I was deep inside. And I was just kind of like, whatever, screw you.
Right.
You know? And so I think when you apply that into how you conduct business and all that, you just got to follow your gut, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that true authenticity really comes out, and it's what I think people love about us, and it's, I think, what people are, like, really freaked out by us about, right. you know? So, I mean, it goes across the board.
But it sounds like also you were maybe in a, even just in that family structure, in a place where people were like, okay.
Yeah.
Do it.
Absolutely.
So when you started, I guess, so Lindy... Just chronologically, sure. Lindy was, and then Breslin, and then White Gold.
That was you.
That was me.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was Lindy and Grundy, and then Dixon's,
okay.
and then Salvation Burger, and then White Gold.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
And so the current lineup of products, again, mm-hmm. makes me feel like you're doing things differently than they've been done before. So if there's like a standard way that people have an expectation of how literally a sausage gets made,
right.
you guys are approaching it very differently.
Right.
Can you talk about how and why you want to change how the sausage gets made?
I just realized that's a Hamilton lyric.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are we talking
how the sausage
about?
Gets made?
Yeah.
I was talking about it.
I mean, I know
it.
It's like a thing, like for sure, but I've been aggressively listening to Hamilton, and I heard it the other day, and I was like, fuck yeah.
I was saying it to someone the other day, like, yeah, you really get to see how the sausage gets made. And the person I was talking to was like, that has a, I think there's a negative connotation.
Yeah,
like,
no, 100%.
When you see how the sausage gets made, it's like you
right.
see that, like, the politics
like the
are corrupt or the whatever.
Back.
I was
yeah.
like, no, literally.
But it's also the same as, you know, when you say, like, oh, you butchered it. Like,
uh-huh.
it's like a negative thing.
Right.
But in
well,
reality.
Well, like on, what's the show? Criminal right. Minds. Every serial killer is called the butcher.
Oh,
right.
God.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I take it as a personal affront. So.
Yeah.
Right. But we're also taking it back, right?
You're like, I butchered it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I
really well,
it.
Actually.
That's like.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So but your guys' sausages. How are they different? Or, like, what were some of the goals? How did you want to rewrite the script?
Well, I think, so Jocelyn always kind of talked about sausages being like, you know, people think it's like a bunch of lips and assholes, right? Like, to put it mildly.
From my father as a
right,
child.
or whether it's that it got a bad rap from like pink slime mm-hmm. or, you know, the nitrates and nitrites that go into it or the binders or the fillers or the, I mean, blah, blah, blah.
So
right?
that like a sausage is a place where you park all the unwanted bits.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then in modern times where it's also like, a lot of preservatives,
yes.
a lot of natural flavors mm-hmm. or whatever mm-hmm. else.
But now the unwanted bits, like, let's get back to that for a minute, because the unwanted bits, like, unwanted is a sad term for that, because to me, it's the most sustainable way to consume in a way, right? Like, because what are you going to do with unwanted bits? Like, throw them away?
Right.
Like, you know, let's make something out of it. And it's something delicious. And it's something that, you know, again, like, to keep quoting Jocelyn, but it's the
Go on.
It's the great equalizer when you take...
Well, that's like when the, like...
Go for it.
Sorry, I'm interrupting. Like when people were like, oh, I am making my own burger at home, so I need like 3/4 pound of ribeye and 1/4 pound of skirt and some hanger. And I'm like, you don't know.
Right.
Like, you know, grind the chuck and it'll be more delicious because it doesn't matter if it's like a skirt. Anyway, that's what I mean when I say it's the great equalizer. Like, you can take like the crap that doesn't make a, not crap, like the extra stuff that doesn't make a great steak or roast or whatever, and it's next door neighbor, it's just not as pretty.
Right, because in our current sort of American, the way that we consume animals, we're like we like love those big primal cuts, and people want those recognizable things, and there's just like you don't even in a standard butcher counter, even like a well-stocked one, you're not going to find necks and things and, you know, those pieces, because I think we're a little bit obsessed with like the big primo cuts.
Right. Well, Jelena had a recipe for lamb neck in their cookbook, and that made me just so happy, because people would come in and be like, do you have lamb neck? And I'd be like, hell yes, you can have lamb neck. Like, it's awesome.
That was actually, you know what Slack is? The, like, it's like an inner office kind of message.
Oh, yes,
communicator app thing.
Yes.
So there was a Slack on a channel that is not at all about like finding things out. It's like where there's a shared calendar, and it's where people are like, you book the room on a day when I book the room. Like, that's literally what the entire channel is for. And then out of nowhere, this guy slacked everybody and was like, emergency, does anybody know where I can get 8 lamb necks ASAP?
Yeah,
and I was just like,
dream.
Like, call me,
delicious. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then all these people were like, call me. And I was like, wow, man, you are in the wrong channel, and you have a problem that I can't solve, but I like really want to know what is happening today.
That's awesome.
These 8 like right now, stop.
But everyone is like all on it too, which is pretty great.
It's like an all channel alert. Yeah. But yeah, I remember having a similar conversation with my boss, Adam Rappaport, about like lamb neck or like even copa, you know? And like if I sold it to him as like, oh, it's this delicious, like roasted, kind of roasty, brazy, like copa. He's like, you know, copa. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's just the pork, like the neck, but like the top of the shoulder. Anyway, it's great. You can totally get it now.
Right.
You just go to the butcher and ask for it. And he's like, it's not, first of all, not true.
Right. No, that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like so much of it just gets thrown into the...
Right.
The hopper of the grinder.
Right.
So. It's true. Well, I mean, look, we love hamburgers in this country. And honestly, we love sausages, right? I mean, it's such a big staple from, like, the dinner table, like, with little kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much easier to put, like, a hot dog in front of a kid and be like, eat this. Or like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
I mean, our poor child eats so many hot dogs a week.
She
we're
loves, like,
it.
Shit.
She's
we're
eating,
out of cod.
Like,
right.
Eat this
really,
hot dog.
She's eating really good dogs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So going back to the dogs. So the ones that you guys came up with to launch the J&E with.
Yes.
The brat.
Kielbasa.
Bratwurst, kielbasa, and I had them all.
Oh, good.
I was there the day you guys came
in.
Yeah,
I remember.
Tasting, and then I took some home.
Oh, good.
And I'll be honest, I don't usually love a bratwurst.
Oh, yeah.
But I really loved them.
Oh, good.
I don't know
if
it was, is there sometimes liver in a bratwurst? Sometimes? Livery things? Maybe that's what, I don't know.
There can be. Are you, like, not super into the liver?
It's not my fave.
You're in safe space. Neither of us.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm working on my, I was thinking about it last night. I have like very few food aversions left.
Yes.
Dill was a big one.
Oh.
So I worked through that. Took 10 years and I'm now like cured.
Oh, good.
Except I don't
Congrats.
Want it in my chicken noodle.
But,
okay.
Oh,
yeah.
And like, if it it showed up in a ranch the other day, unexpected.
You slacked everyone. You're like, what the fuck? There's dill.
I was like, who put dill in the ranch? But I was like, okay, I've evolved. I can handle
That's
this.
So funny.
But like, chicken liver is still not on my. And then, you guys know Christine Mulkey, right?
Yeah.
The writer. So she was a colleague, and she was at No, I think she was at Noma, and she posted a photo of a crazy photo, but she was eating tempura'd duck brain, and I was like,
"Oh, sure,
no gracias."
Yeah, I feel like if things are fried, I'm in.
You're there.
Yeah, I'm like, it all kind of tastes the same.
Yeah, like even sweetbreads, like
right.
Yeah, you know, they can. I mean, people call it like popcorn chicken almost, right? But when you get like a giant
who calls
piece
it
of
popcorn chicken,
I don't know.
You're just looking in the mirror, being like popcorn chicken.
This is like when butchers rebrand brains. Yes, they're like so.
See, I think brains are like scrambled eggs. They taste almost like eggs. So if you hide them in,
that was the first time I had a pig brain. I was working for you, and you were like, just hide it in some sauce.
Just don't think about it.
And I was like, okay.
Don't look at it and don't think about it, and you're good.
Right. Don't think about it. I think is huge.
Yeah. I think that's a terrible way to get someone to eat something, though.
But you guys are raising a baby, so you just have to be like scrambled brain.
Oh, God.
She'll be like, I love it.
But the thing
she
with her.
She eats crazy, crazy food. She's rad.
Yeah, she steals like fried sardine heads off of the plate, like just.
Amazing.
In her mouth. She's like. Rah, rah, rah.
I'm like waiting for the moment where she becomes a jackass and stops eating things.
So,
I'm, like,
so it's an evolutionary thing.
Yeah.
And it will kick in.
Yes.
It just kicks in. And then I read about this phenomenon, and it really coincides with when, if we were all still like hunting and gathering,
right.
Mm-hmm. Like the time that you become ambulatory and you can like get up and walk away from camp.
Oh.
So it was around like that kind of toddler time.
Huh.
And if you toddle off and go eat something that you've never had before, you're like, oh,
sayonara.
This looks cool. Yeah. You're not coming back.
So it's like,
so it is actually a thing
that's
that they're
awesome.
Our brains are kind of created, whatever, that you don't want to explore or try new foods because you could literally die from it. You don't know. So just
you
ever
try
all the
this,
well,
like,
I sort of saw it in my children. So you want to give them as much variety, like give her all the sardine heads before she turns two, because then sardine heads will be on the thing of things. The list of things that won't kill me.
Okay.
Good.
I read a thing once that said the humans didn't have like an enzyme or something to digest broccoli.
Oh.
So we have like this weird vestigial aversion to eating it because we're like poison.
Right.
Anyway,
and
now
like,
it's hopefully
now
being bred out. But
sure. Okay.
It's really interesting how that works. I don't know.
I'm trying so hard to get you guys to tell me what's in your
you
sauce.
You don't actually have to, like, what's the word? Publish this?
Oh, no, we
broadcast
do.
Broadcast it?
Oh, we will. We
okay,
love
so
it.
Okay, so let's sausage. Let's talk about that.
There's part of you guys that were like, no, the bits and the bobs are, like, good, and we should use those.
Right.
And when you don't, you're, like, throwing perfectly good food away,
right.
Which is, like, an old idea that we have gotten to be not great about in our modern times.
Well, and also some of the farmers we work with, it allows them to sell their like middles to like Eataly or grocery stores or like the meat boxes that people do online now. Like it helps them out too.
Right.
So
that's part
great.
Of it. You guys are partnering with people who are raising animals.
Right.
And so you want to have that flexibility to use what they have to put in, but at the same time you need to have a product that's like consistent, right?
Right.
So how do you manage that?
Here's the thing. What becomes tricky is, because you know, again, with the best of intentions, we're trying to change how people consume, and the issue has been that, you know, when you have like a nutrition label on the back of your package, right, that is all calculated according to what cut is used.
Mm.
So we are no longer in that area where we get to say, okay, this is all the trim that goes into it. The unwanted bits don't actually get to play a star role in this conversation. And it's actually kind of a bummer. And I think Jocelyn and I are working on that in the
so
sense
you're saying
of,
if like one time you were to use like whatever meat from the neck and another time you have like stuff from another part, that would change your fat content.
Yes,
it would change
exactly.
So they have
content.
Something called like 65s, 75s, and 85s. And it's like, that's the percentages. They have 95s too. And like, we had to kind of stick and be like, okay, we're doing this percentage. And
got
like,
it.
Then they kind of like, if somebody like rips the copa out of a pork shoulder and we get the rest of it.
Right.
Then that's a certain percentage. So you kind of have to like stick with that.
Right. So we do still do that to a large extent, but there's parameters now. we think about it on a much larger scale, like what Jocelyn was talking about, where we get to say, okay, we're completing a whole animal circuit mm-hmm. with other businesses and other ways of these animals being consumed, and we get to take those bits of it, you
right.
know, so the shoulder or the leg or whatever.
And now they're getting paid for something that they might have had to, like, absorb that cost yes, of yeah. in the past. Okay,
yes.
So there's incentive on both sides.
Yeah,
so, like, yeah this
for
is,
sure.
like, great, you want to buy this thing that, like, I can't give away?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Totally. So that's a really fun thing. The next thing that we really wanted to do was to make sure that we kind of pulled out all the known allergens mm-hmm. from our production, right? So I think when I first started, I was like really anti nitrates and nitrites. And then I realized that, like, it's a hard sell to be able to say, like, this is a cooked sausage. Yeah, it looks really gray.
Right.
You know, or like the bacon looks gray, but like, it's cool because XYZ. Like, that's a hard thing to
right.
sell over
but
the counter.
But you were also trying to do that, like, 7 years ago. And I
yeah.
feel like now it's a totally different conversation.
It is a different
conversation.
Because,
like, people come in and they're, like, scared about whatever disease that their kid could develop from that.
Right. So much so. More information has yeah. made people mm-hmm. more aware of, like, no, I don't. What are nitrates and why are they in here?
Right.
But, like, pink salt, which would be used to preserve, to you would put that into, like, a terrine.
Yes.
Right.
Which is also a preservative.
Right.
Is that a nitrate?
Yeah. And I think when you, the rule is that when you cook it, it kind of goes from nitrite to nitrate.
Oh.
And so there's, like, you know how there's, like, pink salt number one and pink salt number two?
Oh.
One is better for you than the other, you know, and especially, like, so pink salt two, I think, is what goes into, like, a dry cured product, and it's meant to be consumed raw. So if you then switch them out, and it goes in the wrong product and
then
it gets cooked, then that's
like
no
we
way
had
wrong.
To, yeah. We had to throw away like a dozen brined briskets once because a prep cook accidentally used two
the
instead
wrong.
Of one, and we all lost yeah. our minds. And that's when you throw away meat.
Yeah,
because
brisket
without feeling
doesn't
bad
like
about
cook
it.
So fast.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
was. So but there are no nitrites or traits
right.
in anything that you're doing.
Yes, that's correct. So, you know, nitrates and nitrates, like we use, like, celery powder mm-hmm. and stuff, so that's naturally occurring, mm-hmm. right? So there are no chemicals in that way. But there's still, like, the USDA really requires you to still have trace amounts of that stuff in your products because that's just the federal law. You know what I mean? And it's a food safety concern.
Right.
So let's be willingly compliant because
yeah.
that's really the right thing to do.
Right.
And, you know, but technology, food technology has really come up to the point where there's, you know, cherry powder. There's all sorts of things that kind of go into it that help us feel like we're eating, you know, like something that's a little rosier,
right.
something that looks more enticing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so all of that kind of comes into effect for these sausages.
Because the hot dog definitely had that.
Mm-hmm.
And so did the kielbasa. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, it doesn't affect the flavor or anything like that. And it is, again, like all natural. So, you know, that feels great for us being new parents and, like, you know, feeding our kids with it. And, you know, even like when I was pregnant, like there were things that, like, you're suddenly like, oh, okay, like, I can't have cured things. I can't
right.
have, you know, things that have been, like, packed and stored for a long time.
Like, you're not
cans.
Supposed yeah. to eat deli meat.
Yeah,
no,
it's, like,
you're
crazy.
Not because, yeah. yeah. Or,
right.
like, raw milk cheeses.
Exactly. Although, like, I was in Italy and I was like, gimme.
Yeah, totally.
you know?
I know, there are rules here, but they're
yeah.
not rules over there.
Right.
Same
it's
with
funny.
The smoking and the coffee and the red wine
yeah.
when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
When you're in France, it's fine.
She she elbowed someone out of a Aperol Spritz line at a wedding in
nice.
Italy when she was, like, 7 months
well,
pregnant.
Well, one of my proudest pregnant lady moments. I was at dinner with my mom and my
yeah.
sister, and I was really pregnant. I was probably like 8 months pregnant.
Sure.
And the waiter came to the table with the wine glasses, and he was putting them down, and he was like, oh, ho, none for you. And I was like, put the glass
yeah.
on the table and pour me the wine. And he was like, but, and I was like, do it.
Also, none of your beeswax,
none of your business,
bro.
Mister.
Yeah.
I'm of age.
Exactly.
But, like, maybe I wasn't even going to drink wine, but the fact that he was like,
yes.
you're not drinking wine. I was like, yeah, I am.
Oh, God. That's
you're going
like...
to have a story to tell.
Yeah, I had a straight white
Fritz.
Man at what was it? Baby store when we
bye
were
bye
shopping.
Baby.
Yeah,
oh,
bye
yeah,
bye
yeah.
baby.
Oh, we called up buy your baby lots
yeah.
of stuff.
Yes. We were buying like a nursing rocker,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, well, this one's the best because, and I was like, dude. So I let him go on this big spiel, and then I looked at Jocelyn, and I was like, we're going to the other Bye Bye Baby to get it because I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of knowing.
It from him.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's logical.
So
that's cool
funny.
Stuff
yeah,
we
yeah.
do.
Anyway.
Okay, my last question, maybe.
Yep.
Emma gave me a sign. Emma's very subtle, Mm-hmm. But there is like a to one of those.
We're also like really bad at podcasts.
Yeah. I want to talk about toppings. Okay. Hot dog toppings.
Oh, that's good.
Because, you know, brought with some spicy brown, sure, mm-hmm. that's great. But like,
sorry.
You know, Goldens.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I'm way Bavarian. Too much of a child to not laugh at that. Sorry. Yes.
What are things that people are not putting on their dogs that they should be?
So I don't like ketchup.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Ketchup is terrible.
I feel like I've had too many jobs where I've had to like refill ketchup bottles.
To like it.
Which, yeah. It's just fucking...
But it's like, why not just it like smells... smother it in honey then? Like it's, a, I mean, that's, right?
It's so sweet.
Yeah, like dump sugar on
See,
it, bro.
I don't like how it smells in like a tabletop thing that you have to...
Does your child eat ketchup?
No, no.
You dipped a tot in ketchup for her the other
day. Yeah, she was like,
don't you get her started.
So pissed.
Well, she's so psyched.
Yeah.
I mean, the largest demographic of people who love ketchup are children.
Oh,
and that's
it's
why,
so
do
gross.
You know that's why they invented the squeezy bottle?
So it's easier to get
because
out.
Because you couldn't give a kid it's the evil. Glass bottle with the, you right. know, doing
like,
that
hit
thing.
The 57 kid. And,
and
like,
they were
huh?
like, if it's squeezable, then the child is in control of the portion. Of the it's portion distribution, no. And then it's just like,
yeah,
diabetes, oh, please.
But they sold way more ketchup.
Yeah,
they,
oh, I mean,
that's
sure.
the squeezy
genius.
Bottle.
If
sure.
we could somehow come up with like a child-friendly sauce.
Well, like when we did the Lisa Frank at Smorgasburg, it was like we ended up making mayonnaise purple because we love to put mayo on hot dogs.
Same.
And people were
and
like,
and a burger.
But why isn't it that purple ketchup that they were making? It was like 10 years ago that like Heinz decided
ketchup?
To make like purple
Burger King
and green
and
Heinz
were in cahoots. And now there's like a Nickelodeon slime
mm-hmm,
green
it's
ketchup
bright green.
You can get on Amazon.
They were like, why isn't it that? And I was like, because.
Because mayonnaise isn't purple,
yeah.
bro.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. So
crazy.
Did
you make it purple?
Yeah, we made it purple.
We used butterfly pea flour.
Oh, but we have butterfly pea powder coming up in our Christmas cookies.
It's a really fun
bread
ingredient.
With it.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Neat.
We also made a Thai lemonade, is what Jocelyn calls it, but it turns colors, right?
Ooh, cool.
when you squeeze lemons into it.
I think they must use it in the cocktails at the Who's He What's It.
Yeah.
The Boom Boom Room?
Probably.
You know me. Yes. I get one night out, I go straight to the Boom Boom Room.
Okay, so we'll put mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And
but I don't feel
pickled
like it. Would you
spicy
do that on
pepper.
A brat?
I put mayonnaise. I'm from Virginia.
Okay.
I'm like, give me that mayonnaise. Dukes, ideally.
Cool.
We're a house divided. She's Cupie. I'm Dukes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So on a brat, I personally am like a really big fan of like super spicy but sweet. Mustard, so like the Bavarian,
the
sort.
One that starts with the L with the red top.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah,
it's kind of shaped like a barrel.
Yes,
love that. Yeah,
with
it's
the
so
red
good.
Cap.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
yeah, that's really great. Otherwise, I mean, I think what's cool is to think about sauerkraut, but different renditions of sauerkraut, like from like an international perspective. So, you know, like kimchi, I think, is actually a wonderful pairing with bratwurst. You
so
know,
good.
Yeah. And I would explain it to people, like, do you know what kimchi is? It is actually like Korean sauerkraut.
Yes.
So they're like, oh,
no, that's really people loved that.
Yeah.
Because at the Oculus, when you do Smorgasburg, it's all tourists.
Yes.
So like, I had to learn how to say cabbage in Spanish.
Oh, cool.
Which was nice because I'd be like, it's lechuga. Pero mas duro. And they'd be like, hard lettuce? Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, ooh, cabbage. Repollo, we know. But I think kimchi is great. Sorry.
Kimchi
great
on all the dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And mayonnaise together.
Mayonnaise on top. Yep.
Delish.
Totally.
Yep.
I always go aggressively spicy with mayo. Like,
totally.
We have a farm near us that the farmer who runs it is really obsessed with peppers. So he's got like 10 varieties. And we bought so many of them and pickled them. So now we're set.
Ooh.
Totally. And we usually pickle it in like rice wine vinegar and then kick it up with like some extra sweetness. And so it's sweet, but also like fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And
I like putting hoagie spread on a hot dog as well.
What is hoagie spread?
Like the calabrese, like
bomba calabrese.
Oh, sure.
Very Italian American. Like, I love it so much. I like to put it under the dog and on top of the dog. So.
I know. That's it. There's like a. You need to season the bun.
Yeah, agree.
And then the bun is also a thing.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
You guys go in for like a potato?
Usually.
Yeah. And then the size of your dogs. I read something about like that being an important thing. And like,
yeah,
how far beyond the bun can the dog go?
Yeah.
And like the foot, the whole like foot longs, and like that's a different bun situation.
So I grew up in Germany where a bun was mostly like a handle. It was
like it really round. Was just coming through the middle.
Yeah, it
like
was
like a saddle.
Yes, a little hot dog saddle. Oh Jesus!
So it was just your holder.
Yeah, it was that's like a little.
Good.
Yeah,
because it's too like much bun for me. Usually, thing. I'm constantly pulling the bun off.
Agree.
Yeah.
So if you get like a round, like Oar Washers makes like a great little round ciabatta that you can just kind of slice and pop the dog in, and then it's
yeah we did that.
You don't
for
even
October
have to
Fest.
Eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, you totally. Guys could do the you yeah. could do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
especially,
German bun.
Yeah.
Well, that
yeah.
way.
Well, in Germany they also give you an edible, like a wafer cone for your French fries. So you eat all your
you
French
eat
fries
the
with
whole
mayonnaise,
thing. Right?
And then you eat your cone.
No waste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Keep the napkins off the road.
1991 Germany. Who knew?
I don't know. I love the idea that the first bite is just the dog,
yes.
and maybe some toppings. But like you know, the toppings are going to slide off if you have a hot dog or a hot
totally
you know, sausage. Correct. So, I think the first bite ought to be this very clear idea of what you're eating.
Yeah,
you know, and then the rest can be like you know toppings and bun and like, and then it's a party, and then you finish up with that one last hot
right.
dog.
But I think great. There's typically yeah. so much totally. Bun because of how the sausage gets made. Like people don't yeah. want to taste that bun. Just to
way
go
to
full
bring
circle.
It back to how the sausage.
But I think that's a thing.
Made.
Like,
yeah.
you know, like whenever I have to like politely eat liver, I'm like, I'm just going to put it on this toast and like cover it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also when you have that first bite of just the sausage or the hot dog,
mm-hmm.
you get the full texture. Mm-hmm. Like you get to what is going on with this thing.
It's
right?
a representation
is it a snappy
of
boy or yes. juicy. Like, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, the totally. Rest of it.
Love it. Snappy Boy would be a great name for a hot dog.
Awesome.
Or next year.
Or a dog.
Yeah,
true. Come here, Snappy Boy. I think you guys need to roll out with Snappy Boy.
It's going to happen.
That's why we called it Small Goods. We can do whatever we want.
Do whatever we want. And then German saddle bun.
Exactly.
The saddle buns.
Oh, God. There's
of
so
the
many
world.
Options.
I'm hungry for hot dogs now,
yeah.
so great job.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Sure, thanks
yeah.
for having
yeah.
us.
Anytime.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Sarah Jampel, welcome to the Bon Appetit Foodcast.
Thanks, my first time.
Are you nervous?
I'm a little nervous.
Okay, we won't.
I'm just nervous you're going to bully me for 20 minutes.
I wouldn't. That's so not fair. Just here to talk about nuts.
I have a nut anecdote to share.
Okay, let's go.
I love nuts because they're crunchy, they can be salty, they add texture, they add fat, and I have this one really good friend who's allergic to nuts. And not to toot my own horn, but I am a fairly considerate friend, and yet I have some mental block where wherever he comes over, I make something with nuts, even though I know that he's allergic to it, because it's my default to like add nuts to everything I make.
I think some psychiatrist or therapist would say that's not a mental block. It's like some Freudian thing that you're trying
I'm trying to yeah. kill my friend.
Yes. Is he really your friend?
He's a great friend.
Is he, though?
He signed my ketubah. At my wedding. So he's a good friend. He's like a lifelonger.
No, not if you keep cooking for him. He's not going to be a lifelong friend.
But I'm always sad that I can't make like frangipan or add nuts to a salad or use almond flour because he's allergic.
Is he allergic? So tree nuts versus like peanuts are not tree nuts. Can you eat peanuts?
He can eat peanuts. And that was kind of one of the things that actually got cut from the print issue was that we had a little blurb on the very first page that kind of explained what a true nut is versus a legume, like a peanut, versus actual like other parts of the plant that are not nuts but that we think of as culinary nuts.
Hmm.
So like cashews are not nuts, hazelnuts are not nuts, almonds are not nuts. Basically most things we think of are not nuts.
All right, should we just cancel this episode because I don't know. What are you talking about?
A lot, like botanically.
Oh my God.
This is like beyond the scope of basically, which I think is why it got cut from the issue. But
Emma, are you sure you wanted Sarah to come on the podcast?
Botanically, many of the things we treat as nuts are not nuts. So like pine nuts are not nuts.
What about
you? It's
very
confusing. I'm very nutty.
Okay.
But I think, I can't remember what like the actual nuts were. I think like a Brazil nut is a nut.
No,
fine.
No one likes Brazil nuts.
We didn't include any Brazil nuts.
All right. So for the section, you have this beautiful Irving Penn looking still life and we got pecans and walnuts and hazelnuts and
pistachio,
cashew. Nuts or not, whatever. That's what we're going with. Let's start off about buying nuts because I feel like half the time I buy nuts, I'm at the airport. I just want something that's not disgusting. And next thing I know, I'm paying $7.95 for a tiny bag of cashews. I feel like there's got to be a better way, right?
Right. I mean, I wouldn't recommend buying prepackaged airport nuts in general.
Really?
Yeah. Think? I mean, you have no idea how old they are. I feel like a lot of people eat nuts because they're a really healthy alternative. I think there was a study that came out recently that said that like if you eat a small amount of nuts a day, you're actually less likely to gain weight over time. My mom told me that. Thank you, Mom. But I think that you're
what
kind
if
of
you
like...
you also go to Shake Shack every day?
Well, I think the point is that you like satiate yourself with nuts and so you're not eating like a brownie.
Yeah.
Because nuts
I love
are really
food studies because whatever makes sense now is going to be completely
right.
changed 5 years
exactly.
from now.
Exactly. But I think you kind of like negate some of that when you buy nuts that are kind of like coated with who knows what
yeah.
and have been sitting around
so,
at the airport.
All right, so what nuts should I be buying and where should I buy them?
So we recommend that you are buying whole raw nuts because those are like the most versatile. They're blank canvases. You can roast them. You can salt them. You can season them with za'atar. You can do whatever you want.
So they're not roasted. They're just like raw almonds.
Raw.
And I get them from like the bulk bin at the grocery store?
Yeah, from the bulk bin or just a grocery store that you know has high turnover. So like not a grocery store where things are kind of like yellowing on the shelves because nuts go bad.
I would just say in general you shouldn't shop there.
Right. But you know, sometimes you're desperate.
Yeah, you
but
you
not
do.
The time to buy nuts.
Okay, so I buy, let's say, all right. I like cashews for indulgence. I like almonds because I love to like throw those in salads and do all sorts of things with almonds. So I buy a couple of large-ish containers. I get home. I never know what to do with them. Am I just sticking them in the cupboard? Am I sticking them in the freezer? Like, I don't quite understand the whole storage thing.
Okay. It just depends how fast you're going through those nuts. So, like, I wouldn't recommend ever buying more nuts than you're going to be able to consume in a few months because you can store them in the freezer. That's definitely a way to preserve them, but they're not going to be at their best at that point. You know what I mean? Like, it's better to buy smaller quantities.
Ice cold, unsalted, raw
right.
nuts aren't tasty?
No. It's better to buy smaller quantities, and then you should be roasting them kind of as you need them because once you roast them and you're, like, bringing all their essential oils to the surface and making them tastier – you also make them less able to last a long time.
See, that's what I find fascinating about nuts. I'm being serious here. So I'll be in the BA Test Kitchen. We actually do store a lot of the nuts in the freezer because there's just everything needs to go somewhere. There's so much going on. They are in larger quantities, so they've got to last
right.
longer because of the way we order food. Take Chris Morocco was doing something the other day, or maybe you were, I don't even know, with walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, walnuts, especially if you crack them out of the shell, raw walnuts, I find really tannic.
Bitter.
And not that bitter, not that flavorful. You guys were roasting them, and they were on a sheet tray, and all of a sudden they became so warm and, for lack of a better word,
nutty
and roasty.
Right.
And I was like, oh, these are delicious
well,
now.
Well, that's why I kind of cringe when I see people eating raw nuts. Not because
yes.
it's like nothing I've done before, but just because raw nuts are so much less delicious than toasted nuts. It's like a really quick, simple way to make it taste so
they're the
much
worst.
Better.
When I was at GQ for
they're
years,
squeaky.
And we would be in, this is going to sound obnoxious, but anyways, we'd go to fashion shows in Milan, and we were driving around, and Em was like, don't tell this story. But so the fashion team, Jim Moore and Madeline and Maria and stuff, and they go to like 17 shows a day and walkthroughs, and they're just, they're not going to the hour and a half long lunches like some of us were and dinners, and they would just travel with little baggies of raw, unsalted, unroasted almonds.
It's a
and
very
it was
sad
just
snack.
So depressing.
Yeah.
And that's like, we don't have time for lunch. I'm like, yeah, you do, actually. Anyways, they didn't, and that's what they would eat and subsist on, and it would just depress me. It's like, you're in Italy.
Right.
Stop for at least a panini or something.
A panino.
I was going to say panino, but then that would have been really obnoxious. But then when you roast them, all of a sudden, roasted almonds, raw almonds, depressing, roasted nutty almonds, where you guys talk to me about the temperature and time to get them all the way evenly browned all the way through, so they're just...
So I think the thing is that it takes longer than you think.
Yes.
So it kind of takes between 8 to 12 minutes. It could take even longer if you're using a denser, harder nut. So like, that's kind of a confusing thing. But almonds are like a harder nut than a pecan, just if like you eat one raw. So pecans are going to get toasted in less time than an almond.
Or cashews are always buttery, soft nuts. Like almonds, like you can crack it. Right. You can crack a tooth on. But yeah, if you have a sore tooth, go on the other side of the mouth. I've got that problem right now with the left side. I got some dental work done. And it's
I went to the dentist yesterday.
Oh, how'd it go?
Beautiful teeth.
Oh. Clap, clap, clap.
Yeah.
Emoji clap.
But we prefer, it's easier, I think, to roast nuts in the oven rather than the stovetop because nuts are pretty temperature sensitive.
I used to do that, and they would get basically, I'd go to do something else while you're cooking dinner, and you go, oh, and then one side is basically burnt. But so on a little sheet tray, like you say 350?
Yeah. I mean, 325 will work too. It will take longer.
I was saying it's one of those things where you can kind of smell when they're ready.
Yeah, I wouldn't walk too far away. Like, because if you do forget to set a timer, you should have that smell that tells you the nuts are finished. And when they're toasted, like an almond, for example, or a hazelnut or a cashew, you'll cut it open and you'll notice that like raw light color is gone and it should be kind of brown all the way through. I think one of the reasons that we don't recommend buying pre-toasted nuts is because they're never quite as roasted as we'd like.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the point of buying roasted nuts and then re-roasting them when you can just do it yourself to your preference?
Wait, you never told me where you store your nuts at the John Pell residence.
So I store them in the fridge.
In what sort of container?
In mason jars.
Mason jars, okay.
But if I have nuts and I know like in the next couple of weeks I'm going to make granola or I'm going to make almond butter, then I just leave them at room temperature.
All right, before we get to what to do with all these yummy toasted nuts, speaking of the stovetop, you have something, a little feature in this package about roast them in the oven or, point number four, or grab the butter and turn on the stove.
Yeah, so it's even better than roasted nuts. Are nuts that get cooked in butter on the stove.
No way, really?
Yes, it's even better. The trick is that the butter, so we just said that like toasting on the stove is an uneven way to cook them. So now we're recommending that you do it.
But it feels like you gotta be pretty hands-on,
but the butter also acts as like a heat conductor, and so it makes it more even and less likely that your nuts are going to cook in patches or burn. The butter kind of helps everything to move along. But the butter browns as the nuts toast, so you get like the double whammy of toasty butter flavor plus the roasted nuts. And you can add chili flakes. You can add a sprig of thyme or rosemary.
Salt, of course.
Yeah. Drizzle it with honey. Add salt.
Oh, my God.
And it becomes just like a snack in itself.
I feel like this is the sort of thing when you guys are doing this in the BA kitchen and I'm walking around, I just am reaching over and like eating all of these before. You do it for like a recipe.
And right.
I don't
and
know
then
that.
And you come and you mess up the amount that we have. Yes.
It's hard not to. And you say cook, stirring often until nuts are golden brown, 5 to 7 minutes. This is over medium heat, probably?
Yeah.
Medium low?
Medium.
And you say in a heavy, like a cast iron skillet, so it's not too thin. And using a slotted spoon, transfer to paper towels and let cool. Then eat by the handful or sprinkle over seared fish or salads.
Yeah.
That brings us
delicious.
To what to do with all these nuts. Because like I say, I think a lot of us think of nuts as that 3 p.m. snack when we're at work, we're trying to be healthy, and like, oh, I should just eat some almonds.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't
like Obama.
Appetite. Yeah. Did we tell that story on the, I think we did that story when Alex Wagner and the guys from the circus were on about the Obama story. That it wasn't literally seven almonds, but he is pretty fastidious about eating a sort of spare diet throughout the day and not snacking and stuff.
I just can't imagine eating. Well, it's funny because my husband one time came home and was like, I feel so sick. I ate so many almonds. And I was like, what do you mean by so many? And he was like, I don't know, 40? And I was like, how did you possibly eat 40 almonds? Like, that is
Was he in just some like boring conference room meeting and there was a thing of almonds in the table?
I have no. I think he was just like he got started and he never stopped. The way I'm using nuts is by adding them to other things I'm cooking, not like eating them by the handful.
Can we go back to the airport quickly before we get into what to do with the nuts? If you ever go by like these smoked almonds at the airport, look at the ingredient list. It's kind of horrifying. What you would think it would, well, it's not just like almonds and salt. There's all sorts of other crap on there that you're like, oh, that doesn't actually look very healthy at all.
Right. And I would say that like I've tried to buy smoked almonds or salted almonds and cook with them and it kind of like throws off all your seasoning.
It's too much. Yeah.
So if you're like making a sauce with almonds but they're salted or smoked, like you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about some of the things that you like to do. You've got these beautiful toasted, freshish nuts. I mean fresh in the sense they haven't been sitting around forever. Give me some things that you cook with that the average home cook might not think about.
That the average home cook, well, I don't know what the average home cook knows.
Not as much as you. How about that? What do you do with them?
I put them on, so I think that nuts and pasta is like a delicious combination.
Okay, see, that, I don't think most people do that.
Right,
talk
so my
me.
Parents definitely wouldn't do that. So like a creamy lemon pasta.
I feel like your parents want to do a lot of things.
Right. Yeah. They wouldn't make pasta. But like a creamy lemon pasta with toasted hazelnuts on top. Sounds good.
Right.
Yeah. Or we make a lot of like savory fruit salad. I love fruit and I try to find ways to eat it as much as possible. So we make a lot of fruit salads that are like thinly sliced persimmons and apples with butter toasted walnuts and then shaved Parmesan cheese or something like that.
We see that a lot these days, I want to say in the last like couple of years, as radicchio type of salads have become very popular. And you get that sort of radicchio or what's the other one? The
Endive
and stuff.
Endive.
Always with walnuts, maybe some sliced apple or a little bit of cheese in there. Like that's a very common one. I think almonds are natural, toasted almonds for salads.
Yeah.
You know what I love to do? Can I tell you? It's more of a summertime thing. I love the make a big pot of basmati rice, toast some almonds, chop up the almonds, throw them in the rice with a bunch of chopped fresh cilantro. Then maybe I'll have a little like charred scallions on the grill, chop those up. Maybe there's some cherry tomatoes or whatever, like also a little blistered, and toss it all together. Throw a little lemon juice and olive oil. And it's so nice. But those crunchy toasted almonds just add a crunchiness and a sort of meatiness to it, which I love.
Right. And whenever I'm making like a green salad that I'm not that excited about, like I have romaine and I have some sort of lemon vinaigrette, then I know that like a nut is going to make it many times more exciting and delicious to eat.
I think so, because like sometimes a salad can be a little lean and you want something that makes it a little bit indulgent. And if you don't have like an avocado or something, a nut adds that fat content and not to mention crunch, which I really like a lot. You also say green sauce. Any green sauce you're throwing together will gain richness and body from a quarter cup of nuts. Try cilantro with peanuts, parsley with almonds, or mint with hazelnuts. So you mean like a herby, olive oily sort of thing?
Yeah. So like the way that traditional Genovese pesto has pine nuts in it.
Look at you.
You would use another nut to kind of replace the pine nut. But that can be something that you're making in a food processor, a blender, or just like a quick sauce that you're making on a cutting board by finely chopping, like just mince some garlic with salt, add herbs, chop them up, add some nuts, and you'll get like a chunky sauce.
I love that. Maybe throw a little like vinegar or something in there, because I often do some sort of hacked version of chimichurri or salsa verde, but I love the notion of adding a little nut in there, and especially if you're doing fish or something and you want, I got a steak, I don't know if I need more fat and richness, but if you have a nice sort of lean white fish.
Yeah, I feel like Andy Baragani especially is known for putting like really well toasted nuts on a seared piece of fish or like a baked piece of white fish or something.
You also mentioned smoothies and shakes. I've written about this before and I've talked about this before. I just went to the gym this morning with my trainer, Damien.
Congratulations.
I'm a man of a
certain
age.
Shout out to Damien.
And the only reason I go to the trainer is for the smoothie afterwards. I like to call it a power shake. But it's got like acai, I feel like Brad, strawberries, little protein powder, a little almond milk, and then peanut butter. I always ask for extra peanut butter.
Right.
So that makes it like gives it that
creamy
sort of baseline.
And sweet.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of peanut butter they're using. Like, do you think it's like Jif?
No, I think it's like organic-y because you don't get that sweet. Yeah, I think so.
But I feel like cashews especially are like the secret ingredient of all vegan creamy recipes. Like there's cashew queso, there's cashew cheesecake, like there's cashew ranch dressing, because cashews especially are like super soft and creamy and pretty neutral tasting. And so you soak them and you blend them into a smoothie and it's like you might as well have used milk.
What do you think about, I feel like macadamias are kind of cheating. Like that's just like eating butter in a solid form.
They're too much for me.
They are. They're just like
scallop of the nuts.
See, I think scallops are too rich also.
Yeah.
I feel like the notion of getting like scallops for like an entree, I'm like, that's crazy talk.
I had never had scallops before I started working here, and I had one for the first time, and I felt like I was just biting into a stick of butter.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I can eat like a 14-ounce ribeye without a problem, but there's something about scallops.
So that's how I feel about macadamia nuts, too.
And oftentimes, people will do, you notice this, Emma, a lot of times, kind of became popular in the 90s, the seared scallops in brown butter with like chopped hazelnuts on top. That's also very Barragani.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last point. Yes, you do want to be the person who makes nut butter. No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Have you ever had it or made it?
I've had peanut butter before.
So we were kind of thinking about all the different like DIY type things that we wanted to include in this package. One was nut butter, which made it. One was nut milks, which did not make the cut. And I think we were also talking about nut flour, like how to make almond flour at home. Very easy.
I think that's interesting, but that's more 2.0 for like, people like you who are like very dedicated bakers.
Right. But nut butter, I truly think the kind that you make at home is superior to most that you'll find at the store.
Okay, so what are you making home? If you're going to make one nut butter, what is it? How do you make it?
I think cashew butter.
Okay, so what do you do?
Well, I roast the cashews. People do it with raw nuts, but at
we're not talking about them. We're talking about Sarah Champette.
Okay, so roasted. Roast the nuts because they'll be 100 times more flavorful if you roast them first. Then all you need to do is just put them in your food processor. If you have a high-powered blender, you can use it also. And then just let it go. And it's amazing how it breaks down.
Do you have to add oil or anything?
You don't necessarily have to, depending on the consistency you want. If you do want it to be like a more saucy, creamy, then add a tablespoon of neutral oil. Salt it.
Any sugar?
I usually add honey.
Honey, okay.
Or maple. But like the beauty of it is that you can make it whatever you want. Like you can add cocoa powder. You can add cayenne. You could add miso.
I feel like there was a recipe. Well, there was something going around the other day we were just shooting that was like some sort of nut butter that had like seeds and maybe coconut and stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, it's the power butter from the February issue.
Okay, coming up.
That's almond butter with like chia seeds, sesame seeds, ancho chili powder.
So start with the base, and then from there, if you want to add stuff, there's no reason you can't.
But you can make like nut butters that you'd never find at a store.
All right, I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Champelle, thanks for coming on the Bon Appetit Foodcast.
Thanks for having me.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced and edited by Emma Wertzman, with additional programming help from Carrie Polis and Elise Inamine. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wertzman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to reach out to us about this episode or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.